Okay. Text 15. And Canto 3, Chapter 31. The speaker of this verse and the ones in this section, it's a spirit soul. That's how it starts. The human soul. Further praise. It's not like... There are conceptions out there in the spiritual marketplace that say there's plant souls and animal souls and bird souls and fish souls and there's human souls. And once you're, you know, locked into being one of those categories, that's it. But that's not our Vedic conception. But the human soul means that the soul that's within developing a body of the human form, still within the womb of mother, recognizing the mistake they made and the great misfortune that came from that mistake, approaching the personality of Godhead in very elevated language and, you know, conceptions that are conceptions that are accurate according to Srimad Bhagavatam's message. So anyway, this is an enlightened soul. The human soul further prays. The living entity is put under the influence of material nature and continues a hard struggle for existence on the path of repeated birth and death. This conditional life is due to his forgetfulness of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage in transcendental loving service of the Lord? So we referred yesterday several things, but the verses of Vyasa's realization, Paropi Manute Anartam, although the living entity is transcendental, Atmanam Trigunatmakam, he thinks of himself as a product of material nature. It means he forgets his identity, his spiritual identity, by that influence, the covering of Maya. Maya Samohito Jiva Atmanam Trigunatmakam. Although Paropi, although he is transcendental, he thinks otherwise. And that yesterday's verse included, here I am with this material body, wrongly applying myself to become the enjoyer of the senses of this body and the mind, guiding me how to get sense gratification, and I'm bewildered. But you're not bewildered. You don't have a material body. Therefore, I take shelter of you. So this is bound birth after birth, this cycle of birth, repeated birth and death, in that confined, constricted, conditioned state. I have forgotten myself and I have forgotten you. So then it's kind of logical. Since I have forgotten you, of course he's speaking to the Supreme Lord, since I have forgotten you, I'm dependent upon your mercy so that I can know you, my forgotten relationship with you. Which is a very important message for us. Bhakti, we've been speaking about the power of bhakti to dissolve the whole material circumstance at the very root. The power of bhakti is two things. Something from our side and something from Krishna's side. It's a relationship. And to enter into a relationship, the servitor is dependent upon the mercy of the served. Good news. Krishna is very merciful. Very merciful. While Krishna is very merciful, that descending mercy can be blocked if our heart isn't open to that descending mercy. So these kinds of messages of the human soul within the womb, or us within our material circumstance outside the womb, struggling, birth after birth, wishing for the ultimate happiness and knowing that we're, if we're honest, knowing we're not finding it, we're dependent upon the mercy of the Supreme Lord. So the qualifications of the Supreme Lord from yesterday's verse, he's this and that and the other thing, because of this, because of that, therefore I take shelter of him. Recognizing the distinction between the served and the servitor, and the qualifications of the served. He has the power to deliver. It's one of the items in surrender. Padma Purana presents, there's six things from our side in limbs of surrender. But then there's another set of two and two that our acharyas describe, the consciousness of the person who is surrendering. One is, of course, humility. That's recognizing my circumstance. I can't do this on my own. I'm tiny, and the circumstance is beyond my capacity. And whatever capacity I have in any case comes from the source of everything. So humility. And second is a sense of no other shelter. If we have a sense of some other shelter, well, then it's not exclusive devotion. It's something and something and something, just in case Krishna isn't capable, or just in case Krishna isn't paying attention, or just in case I'm too insignificant, he's not noticing me, so I'll do some other things. Exclusive shelter. I'll embellish this, then come back to the list of four. Two from our side, and recognizing the place of shelter. So, the story of King Nriga. You know who King Nriga is? No? Do you know who King Nriga is? It's a story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. There was a king named King Nriga, and he was a devotee of Krishna. And he had a desire to see Krishna. We may have a desire to see Krishna. Devotees would like to see Krishna, that's for sure. However, he didn't have full faith in simply the process of bhakti, so he wanted to augment or, you know, assist the strength of bhakti by charity. Jiva Goswami describes it like this. Devotees can give in charity, that's not a problem. It's the consciousness behind the act, that's the consideration. So his charity was, chosen charity was, give cows to the Brahmins. Do you remember this story now? He's giving cows to Brahmins. And one cow was given to one Brahmin, they were like standing in line, and here's your cow, and next one, okay, here's your cow. And the cow that was given to one Brahmin wandered back into the herd of cows, and so he gave the same cow to another Brahmin. Same cow to two different Brahmins. And the Brahmins came and confronted him, saying, you've given the property of a Brahmin. You've stolen, you gave, and then you took it back, and then you gave it again. So there's a discrepancy in your charity. And so you will have to receive a reaction. You can choose A or B. You can choose at the end of this life to receive the reaction for your misdeed and then receive the benefit after the misdeed reaction is experienced. You can then receive the benefit of all your good deeds, or vice versa. Good deeds first, and then when those are expired, then you'll have to experience this misdeed reaction. So he calculated and said, well, I'd rather get the problem out of the way, and so I'll take the reaction of the bad deed. So he became a lizard. Don't take property of a Brahmin. It's a very bad deed. So he became a lizard. And then what happened? Krishna, he was a lizard in the bottom of a well. Krishna knew, because he's in the heart of every living entity, including the heart of lizards. And he came to that well, and he extended his elastic arm down into the well and touched the lizard, and the lizard became transformed back to a human form, so he could then receive the benefit of his life of devotion. And he saw Krishna. Yay! Jiva Goswami explains, this is an example of not having sufficient faith in the bhakti process and therefore thinking, well, I need to do something else besides the bhakti process. You know, the bhakti process, or Bhagavan, bhakti, and the bhakta, they're in this transcendental position. One may not have sufficient faith in that. And so then one may consciousness-wise try to bolster or support or hedge your bets, as they say, or hedge your investments, hedge funds. Just in case that one fails, you have other investments. Just in case Krishna lets me down. Just in case Krishna bhakti isn't sufficient, I'm going to do other things to augment. Because of that, that weakness of faith brought a certain kind of behavior that was a karma, kanda behavior, and there's consequences if there's some discrepancy in karmakanda ritual. And so the distinction here was his lack of faith, not there was something wrong in giving charity. And if there's some discrepancy in bhakti, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? He'll correct it. You know, apichet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhaksadoreva samantavya. And kshipram bhavati dharmatma. Krishna intervenes in the life of the devotee and corrects the situation in the life of the devotee, as he did with the king. But he had to experience, you know, becoming a lizard because of this. The starting point was not having sufficient faith, and then discrepancy in this other activity. Even if there wasn't discrepancy in the other activity, then there's bondage for karma. Increasing your piety by doing some act of charity. Not good act of charity. Nothing wrong with that act of charity. But it's insufficient for the purpose. So now back to this verse. Or back to the list of four. That's what we're going back to. So in the process of surrender, there's humility and I have no other place of shelter but you. So if you have another place of shelter but Krishna, that's not full surrender. So you don't get you don't get Krishna, that connection. And then there's two others, and from the side of the qualification of the person unto whom to surrender, Saralata means Krishna, the place of surrender, accepts the submission. Not looking, are you qualified or not qualified? They accept, you know, the submission. And the other is that they have the power to deliver. So here, this is emphasizing the Supreme Lord has the power to deliver the soul that's in this predicament, as are we in a similar predicament. We're weak. And we have knowledge, but knowledge that's insufficient. Knowledge is insufficient. Although we know what's right, we don't always do what's right. And so we need descending mercy. So that's what the verse is saying. There has to be willingness and eagerness, enthusiasm for descending mercy along with our own effort. Those two things are both needed. Effort and mercy. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he, that's the soul in forgetfulness, again engage in the transcendental loving service of the Lord? We won't even know about the Lord or have a notion that's nothing more than a notion. Like a lot of people that have some notion of a higher power or something, or God as a person, but not a clear idea of who is that person and how to connect with him. There's ideas. So, purport. The Mayavadi philosophers say that simply by cultivation of knowledge, by mental speculation, one can be liberated from the condition of material bondage. But here, it is said, one is liberated not by knowledge, but by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. The knowledge the conditioned soul gains by mental speculation, however powerful it may be, is always too imperfect to approach the absolute truth. It is said that without the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one cannot understand him or his actual form, quality, and name. Those who are not in devotional service go on speculating for many, many thousands of years, but still they are unable to understand the nature of the absolute truth. Paragraph. One can be liberated in the knowledge of the absolute truth simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is clearly said herein that our memory is lost because we are now covered by his material energy. Arguments may be put forward as to why we have been put under the influence of the material energy by the supreme will of the Lord. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, where the Lord says, quote, I am sitting in everyone's heart, and due to me, one is forgetful, or one is alive in knowledge, unquote. The forgetfulness of the conditioned soul is also due to the direction of the Supreme Lord. A living entity misuses his little independence when he wants to lord it over material nature. This misuse of independence, which is called Maya, is always available. Otherwise, there would be no independence. Independence implies that one can use it properly or improperly. It is not static, it is dynamic. Therefore, misuse of independence is the cause of being influenced by Maya. Paragraph. Maya is so strong that the Lord says that it is very difficult to surmount her influence, but one can easily do so. Quote, if he surrenders unto me, mam eva prapadyante, anyone who surrenders unto him can overcome the influence of the stringent laws of material nature. It is clearly said here that a living entity is put under the influence of Maya by Krishna's will, his will. And if anyone wants to get out of this entanglement, this can be made possible simply by his mercy. And final paragraph. The activities of the conditioned souls under the influence of material nature are explained here. In fact, that's the title of the chapter, The Movements of the Living Entities. Every conditioned soul is engaged in different types of work under the influence of material nature. We can see in the material world that the conditioned soul acts so powerfully that he is playing wonderfully in creating the so-called advancements of material civilization for sense gratification. But actually his position is to know that he is an eternal servant of the Supreme Lord. When he is actually in perfect knowledge, he knows that the Lord is the supreme worshipful object and that the living entity is his eternal servant. Without this knowledge, he engages in material activities. This is called ignorance. In this, parents are very concerned, naturally, that their children get good education. And one of the main reasons for good education, one of the main reasons, is so you can have a good job. What's the reason for having a good job? You can get good money. So you don't have to be in a difficult situation without good money. You can have what's required and perhaps a little bit more than what's required. So, education. All over the world. Certain parts of the world even more so than other parts of the world. But, and aside from parents and their education of children, in this world, since the beginning of time, it's one of the opulences of Bhagavan. One of the six opulences is full knowledge. So where there's someone that has some vibhuti, some capacity of knowledge, they're revered in society. You know, whoever, whatever. Some professor. I forget what the PhD stands for. It's something, you know, that's Latin. But, you know, it indicates, you know, it's essentially like a position of guru, someone who is well situated in such and such, a PhD in such and such, a doctorate of such and such, then they're the professor of such and such. And so they're revered in society. Maybe not remunerated so nicely, but revered in society. Teaching isn't a lucrative profession these days. But brahmanas don't have, at least their value is something besides money. Their wealth is, according to the Vedic picture, their wealth is their austerity. You've heard that before? The Brahmana's wealth is his austerity. Well, that sounds like a country. You know, austere, where's the wealth? Because others that don't have that quality of goodness, wealth is represented by something else, by gold or grain or some commodity. But for the Brahmana, his wealth is his austerity. Because with that austerity, the life becomes simple. And when life becomes simple, it frees the mind for higher engagement. And the intelligence can then go to finer subject matter. And then that Brahmana, like the head portion of the body, has the capacity to give direction to the rest of the body. Anyway, a brahmana means one who knows Brahman. And one who knows Brahman is detached from the temporary. One who knows sat is not fascinated by asat. But when we're fascinated by asat, it's hard to know sat. We're distracted by the glitter of the temporary. And even when we're trying to cultivate sat or bhakti, our relationship with Krishna, it's hard because the mind is going here and there, attracted to asat. And, you know, the aspirations for more of it, or the complications for having it, or, you know, it's the affairs of the material world are complex. So each of us has to recognize what our nature is, act in an honest way according to our nature, but at the same time, cultivate shelter, and the mood of shelter. So that's that. This verse, appealing for mercy. And just the concluding message of the purport is, ignorance is, the essence of ignorance is ignorance of what our position is and is our relationship with Krishna. You know, in Sanskrit language, sambandhagyan. We don't have proper knowledge of who we are and our relationship, the relationship of all things with Krishna. Krishna's out of the picture. And so we're in ignorance, and in ignorance, happiness means bringing objects to the senses and exploiting the objects by the senses. So sense pleasure is happiness. It's ignorance. It's not happiness. And that ignorance, behind that ignorance, is ignorance of our relationship with the Supreme Lord. So the previous paragraph was, people ask, why does God put us in ignorance? And the answer is, we wanted it. He didn't say, I want it. He's not cruel. He gave us other advice, and we said, no. I want it. Are you sure? I'm sure I want it. Don't give me any of this back talk. Give me material sense objects, please. And the senses to try to exploit those objects. That's my ambition in life. So with that primordial ignorance, then comes the other varieties of ignorance. And with that other varieties of ignorance comes suffering. Ignorance is the root cause of suffering. And ignorance, behind all ignorances, is the ignoring Krishna, ignoring the Supreme Soul in our relationship with Him. So how is one going to get out of that conundrum? It requires mercy. Even so, again, now go back to the first paragraph. Impersonally say, all you need is knowledge. Like, just repeat after me, I am Brahman. Boing, now you're a God. Just by that knowledge. Not so simple. Then comes this whole convoluted, unintelligible mumbo-jumbo of impersonalism. Won't go into it. But just the particular point that Prabhupada is making here is the system of Mayavad doctrine. Of course, it's variegated, although they say it's all one. Not all Mayavadis are one. but one of their themes amongst the varieties of Mayavadis is Brahman becomes covered by upadis. The main difference is how it happens. But upadis are limiting designations that aren't real. They're false. jagat mithya. They're false. They don't even exist. So if they don't even exist, then how come we're struggling? Well, we think that they exist. But if I'm Brahman, how did I get covered by that which doesn't exist? Don't ask that question. It's too mysterious. Just repeat after me, I am Brahman. Okay, now you're liberated. So, and how does that liberation take place? It takes place by cultivation of knowledge. Then you know that you're Brahman and the upadhi isn't real. But it's insufficient, as Prabhupada is saying. There is a way that knowledge of our real identity, exactly in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is giving knowledge to Arjuna of his real identity, and therefore in turn to us of our real identity. Now what do you do with that? The message is, with descending mercy, which comes in the form of devotional service, then we can act in knowledge in that relationship with the Supreme. So he's asking, the appeal is, please deliver me. We should understand what that means is, please engage me in your service. Please take away the ignorance, and in the place of ignorance, put knowledge. Prabhupada makes reference to that 15:15 verse of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is situated in the heart, and from him comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. He can give us the knowledge. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upiyanti te. Which means he can give the knowledge, he's ready to give the knowledge of how to come to him. But supposing you don't want to come to him, he can give you the knowledge and you'll trash it or make something else of it. Or, you know, get distracted in some other thing. He wants to give it. If we don't want it, so the wanting of descending mercy is required. And Krishna gives that. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajitam priti purvakam. Krishna gives that knowledge to those persons. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. Tesham satata yuktanam. Always engaged in bhajitam priti purvakam. Activities of devotional service that are saturated with love. Then Krishna gives. I mean, he's ready to give even to other people. But they can't. The receivers are off. So the message is clear, and the mood of the message is also very clear, and it's highly relevant to us as conditioned souls. How should we regard our circumstance and how to get out of that circumstance? So, as mentioned yesterday, it's not so much the mystery of how to, it's the mystery of our desire is weak. We want our cake and eat it too, as the saying goes. We want to be engaged in loving service to Krishna and enjoy our senses independently of Krishna. They don't go together. Make a choice. Oh. Weak-hearted choice. Therefore, the actions of devotion need to be from the heart. And it's hard for us to get to the heart level of choosing Krishna when we're covered with all these other impelling forces and we have our favorite ones and we stick with them, or they stick with us. They stick with us because we stick with them. But Krishna is the deliverer. That's the message. Last sentence of the verse again, third time. Therefore, the conditioned soul is engaged in different activities by his direction, super soul, And in order to get free from the threefold miseries of this conditional life, we have to surrender unto Him only. Oh my goodness, that's the next verse. Therefore, without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage in transcendental living service of the Lord? Yeah. Without the Lord's mercy, how can he again engage? Sounds like the next verse is saying the same thing. Help. Please engage me. Please be kind upon me. I'm eager for your kindness. I'm eager for your service. Not like I'm eager to you like take away the problems and let me continue to be an independent enjoyer without any problems. That's foolish. I want to be a criminal and not be in prison. It's foolish. Any discussion? Yes?
Here the human soul is praying in the womb of the mother for Lord's help. Well, similarly, like we are also in the womb of the material nature.
Yes.
And we are in the same womb, that without Lord's mercy, how can we engage in the service of the Lord? And without engaging in the service of the Lord, we cannot get purification. And so as you said, the Lord's mercy is, Lord is ready to give the mercy without any reservations, meaning like without even seeing the qualifications, particularly Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy.
There's a big preamble. What's the question?
Question is, but as you said, like the mercy is there, but it's blocked because of the heart is closed.
Yeah.
And as today also you were mentioning that because of the offenses we may commit, it blocks the mercy.
That's one.
And
ignorance is another. Go ahead.
So the it seems like it's a big problem. Like
it's a problem.
How do
we get out of the problem?
Yeah. But one thing that so grateful that devotees are just like you are coming here and creating as a service for our purification, and we're so grateful for that, and we wish that happens and that mood exists every day in our life, but unfortunately because of this blocking, it's often.
Therefore the process is gradual. But the means is these two things, our effort, sincere effort, and mercy. And the mercy comes in various forms. And especially that mercy comes in increasing fullness to one who is sincere, a sincere effort. I'll just use two examples. A student and a teacher. A teacher has a whole classroom, and amongst the whole classroom, one student is really eager to learn. What's the dynamic? The teacher is very eager to give to the student that's eager to learn. They give to everybody because they're all students. They want their teachers. They like giving teachings. But that student that's particularly keen to learn, something happens. They come to the teacher, what about this? And the teacher goes to them, let me share this with you. Here's some extra resources. Oh, thank you. And so they receive more. Because they're eager to learn. Or, parent and child. Parents have affection for children. And if amongst the children, let's say a big family, one child is particularly affectionate, spe- special mercy goes to that particularly affectionate child. This affection goes to all of a big family. It's natural. So, living entities are all Krishna's parts and parcels. He's the father, and those that turn to him. So, from our side, the effort is not just a doing something. It's the sincerity of being in that relationship, receiving from Krishna what Krishna wants to give. He wants to give himself. So that's from our side the operative principle. Sincerely wanting to be with Krishna. Like, you know, this King Nriga, it's a story. He wanted to see Krishna. But then wanting to see Krishna's should be with proper understanding of what connects one with Krishna. Not piety. It's devotion. And the service in devotion. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. So that's where our attention needs to go. Devotional service with love. So when we're chanting, or when we're cooking, or when we're going to the office, or when we're studying in school, or when we're living our life, do that with devotion to Krishna. Seeking that connection with Krishna. That's the phrase, which is easy to say, and it's another thing to do, but that's where our attention needs to go. This is just like a play on words, but attention goes where intention goes. What's your intention? What's your mission in life? Where do you want to be at the end of the conveyor belt? What would you like your life to be? So that's an intention, and then you cultivate, your attention goes where your intention is. We have to, look deeply inside to see what is it that we really want. We're too busy to look deeply inside, sorry. Well, then it's fuzzy. Very blurry. Unfocused. Sometimes, sometimes not. Sometimes, sometimes not. Mostly not. And sometimes. Moments of something. Some moments of clarity. Because our intention isn't clear. What is it that we want? Then we can easily refine and recalibrate, our speech and our actions to match that intention. And we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We get up in the morning and take a bath and chant the Hare Krishna mantra and come and hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We're doing the right things. So that the refinement goes to the intention behind the thing. That's where attention should go. The same message as last night. I found the verse, by the way. I couldn't find it during the class last night. It's text 18 of chapter 29. Adhyatmika Anushravanam is the first word. Anushravanam, hearing message of transcendence, is the first. And then Arya Sangena is used instead of Sarusanga. Strengthened by that association of those who have similar interests are committed to that objective. Keeping that association strengthens our own focus and sense of purpose and clarity of intention, because we get distracted really easily. Life is complex, so stay focused through good association. And there's other items mentioned. Yes.
Because Krishna does not want to disturb our free will, like he engages spiritual master to bring us back to him. Is that the reason for?
Well, that's one way to describe it. It's just that another way to describe it is Krishna is very kind. And it's part of his kindness.
My question is, putting in another way, instead of giving direct mercy, like
it's direct. It's direct. You may say not direct. It's direct. You have something?
Like the story of King Nika.
Yeah.
It was a little scary that even an authentic Vedic activity could be misplaced in terms of the shelter.
Yeah, well, it's, again, it's intention.
My question is there a test that I can
do? Sure.
Every activity?
Sure. You could look at life as a test. You could look at life as an opportunity. And then, one is intimidating. I don't like tests. And the other is enthusing. I like opportunity. Let's take, something else. You have a job? Of course. So with the job, there's some income, right? Now there's a test. There's an opportunity. You can properly use it or misuse it. That's free will. You can be intimidated by free will. Properly, it's right in the purport. Properly use it or misuse it. That's intimidating.
It's very
exciting. We're marginal. We can go this way, we can go that way. Otherwise, there's no free will. And without free will, there's no love. But there is love. So there's free will. So it's intimidating to have the opportunity to love. There's consequences if we don't. Intimidating. There's the spiritual world and there's the material world. We have a choice. Make wise choices. And be guided by wise people to make wise choices. And stay in the company of wise people. It'll help you make wise choices. And you won't feel intimidated. You'll feel supported and sheltered and closer, closer and closer to Krishna. Even closer and closer, still have to be careful. Don't become careless. Don't slacken. Don't lose your intention. Because then you'll lose your attention. Even if you're doing good things. Because those good things can then become other than good things. Because intention has lost its focus. So use your free will wisely. That's love. Nice. You can say it's subtle. But it's the difference between the spiritual and material world. That's not so subtle. It starts with something subtle. How we use our free will. What do we want? What's important to us? Really. And the bigger picture of things. You usually have something. I'm looking to you. You have something? What's the real
submission?
What's the meaning, or what is it?
No.
How to get it?
How to understand?
How to understand submission? Pranipat. Well, one way to understand what it is to understand what it isn't. Inclusion and exclusion. But it's not blind, and it's not challenging. When Prabhupada discusses 434 Bhagavad Gita, expanding the meaning of submission, he says the inquiry should not be in a challenging mood. That's not submission. Submission is, I want to know. That's specific to knowledge. I want to know. Not like, let's hear what you have to say and I'll let you know whether I agree with what you have to say or not. That's the challenging spirit. And frankly, we're trained. The modern education system rewards us. I mean, IQ tests are challenging your ability to discriminate, because that's what intelligence does. So we're rewarded, we're encouraged, we're trained in an unwholesome way, because this behind that intellect is rebelliousness. Material intellect is rebelliousness of Krishna. We're not trained in Buddhi Yoga, we're trained in, you know, discriminating how to get sense gratification. Challenging. This is a better way to do it. I mean, they don't use the precise language, but, you know, very successful corporations hire people that have that kind of intellect. How to improve whatever exists already. You challenge existing models and make a better one. Science, you know, and so on. You're rewarded for that, handsomely. So submission is not minus the power of discrimination. It encourages the power of discrimination, but with the purpose of wishing to know the absolute truth, wishing to know the source of everything and our connection with the source of everything, and the best way of getting that connection restored. And we do that because that's what submission is. And when we receive it, it enters our heart. And then we act accordingly. That's the seva part. You inquire, you hear the answer, then you take it in your heart and you live accordingly. Asking, as Arjuna asks for clarity, that's part of submission. It's not unsubmissive to say, well, I over here you said this and over there you said that and I'm confused. Could you clarify between this and that? Seeking clarity is not unsubmissive. It's part of I want to know. And when the clarity is there, okay, I'm ready. My doubts are removed. Kurishe vachanam tava. I'm ready. Where's the battlefield? Okay. I have my service waiting for me. Here I go. And, it can be very challenging service, or whatever it is. If it's what Krishna wants, how Krishna wants me to carry it out. In Queen Kunti's prayers, I've been spending some time with Queen Kunti's prayers. There's one of her prayers where she says, similar to Bhishma Dev and his statements in the 9th chapter, in the 8th chapter of 1st Canto, Kunti lists different ways in which the Pandavas, she and the Pandavas, were put into difficulty in each and every time Krishna protected them. So one of them was, you know, the great Maharatis in the battlefield. So one of them, this is Mahabharata Katha for a moment, just make a little levity. Jayadrath, on his wedding day, while riding in the royal chariot, Jayadrath saw in a distance Draupadi. And he was lusting after Draupadi on his wedding day. Pretty shameless fellow. So later he saw Draupadi and he approached Draupadi. Draupadi punched him in the face. he not fell over, bloody face, got a rope, tied her up. Bhima came charging, ready to pulverize Jayadrath, because they're, you know, they were cousins. He had married one of the Kauravas' daughters. So Yudhishthira stopped him from pulverizing them. Although he deserved it, he stopped him. So Jayadrath, like Karna, was angry that, you know, he had been prevented from fulfilling his lusty desire to enjoy Draupadi, as Karna had. So they were both in the get-back mentality. So when on the battlefield, after some days, when a plan was made for killing, because he was too powerful, Abhimanyu, and it was a cheating arrangement, besides, you know, the number of generals, that was against the laws of Dharma, Jayadrath had received a benediction that he can only be defeated by Arjuna. So he held back all the Pandavas while they were beating up on Abhimanyu. That was towards the end of the day. So Arjuna took a vow. Tomorrow I will kill Jayadrath, or I'll enter into fire. So the Kauravas heard that Arjuna had taken such a vow, and they had a big party that night. We just have to do one thing: protect Jayadrath tomorrow. And Arjuna's dead. So Krishna asked Arjuna, why did you take such a terrible vow? And Arjuna said, I knew that you would protect me. That's why he took that terrible vow. That's submission. And sure enough, Krishna protected him. Drove his chariot in such a way the next day, and Arjuna's arrows, and Jayadrath was finished. Yes.
Maharaj, about the intention of devotional service, the relation from Krishna's side is prevalent.
Right? Is what? What was the word you used? Prevalent? Prevalent? Frivolous? What was the word? From Krishna's side?
It's always present.
Yeah, it's always present. Okay.
So, and it's I who turned away. So, my intention should be just to awaken that, and then the rest follows the soul.
Yeah. I mean, we require mercy, but that's the intention. And then everything follows that. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mamupi yatite. Okay, we're done. Thank you very much, Prabhupada. Ki.
Yeah.